Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna.
Welcome back to a new episode of the Podcastianos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man who's finally willing to get back to the business and stop being a diva. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, thanks for finally joining me.
I'm sorry. What? Who is this? Who are you? What are we doing? What's going on?
It's been a long summer. How the heck are you?
I'm good. You know, I've been refreshed by watching a little less baseball. I've been following my team, loving the Tigers, but it's been like almost, 2 months since we've talked? 3 months, Hall?
Yeah, I think I was looking at, because I have my notes in a Google Doc, and the last time I'd open up the Google Doc for the show outline was like mid-May. A lot of life has passed since then.
Not a lot of wins. We haven't missed a lot of wins, but we've missed a lot of bases.
Several Castros have come and not gone yet since then.
Yes, we are flush with Castros.
So let's get into the big business. Nick is gone. Our show's namesake is, or excuse me, Nicholas. If we're going to refer to him for one last time, I suppose we should probably get his name right. Nicholas Castellanos
has
departed.
Nickname.
So what were your thoughts on the trade? And then we'll get to the important business of the show.
Well, okay. So there was this pair of trades. Let's take Nicholas's first. He was sent to the Cubs for one Alex Lang and Paul Richen. I'm assuming it's Richen. Mr. Lang is now our 29th best prospect, according to some website, whatever. And Paul Richen is 19th. So we got a couple pieces back from Nick. Nick is purely a rental. But we can say this about Mr. Castellanos. He has been on a tear.
He sure
since
has.
He's been trading. So I'm happy for him.
Are you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for him. It's good.
I don't know that I'd go as far as to say that I'm excited for him. He's had some disparaging words about his former club. And to be fair, fair play to him. Like, he left an absolute dumpster fire. But still,
I have some disparaging comments about his former club. Are you kidding me?
It's one thing to say it when you're part of it. Like, you're gone. I don't know. It's one of those things that are like, I can make fun of us because I'm here. You're gone. Yeah. You can't make fun of us anymore. I don't know.
I get that. Some people try to make the point to me that he was like insulting the fans because he made a comment about, you know, being in the late innings and being behind at Wrigley and fans were still there. And then, oh, if this was, you know, we were behind late innings at Comerica, there wouldn't be anybody here.
Yeah, that's because you guys always lose.
Yeah. And I was like, well, Nicholas, there's some good reasons for that. Right.
And you're not immune to it. If he had hit anything like what he's hitting for the Cubs now, for us, A, we might have been able to get something for him. No disrespect to the two gentlemen you mentioned earlier. And B, maybe we wouldn't be threatening for the worst record in baseball history.
Yeah, there it was touch and go there for a while, flirting with the worst record.
But yeah, he's gone off the deep end a little bit. The every night is like opening night thing. That's a little trippy for my taste.
Yeah, and he's it's a little surreal because it's like, well, you can't prove to me it isn't, and he's just kind of talking silly talk, and I suppose you're allowed to do that after 130 games or whatever it is, but come on, it's a little silly.
All right, so let's get to the main business. Do we need to rename the show? I like realistically, where do you? To be honest, I haven't had a whole lot of time to think about stuff like this lately. Where do you come down? We're kind of brainstorming on the air here. Do you think we need to rename the show?
We probably should. I mean, Nick's not with the team anymore. I don't think it's urgent, but I threw out there the podcast to be named later.
It's not bad.
And I thought that was pretty good. Unfortunately, there's a couple of other ones already.
Now that's a problem. We got to have something unique.
Yeah.
So, I feel like the big one that's been suggested to me is the Podcastro, which I think is good. But here's the problem with that. Are you going to tune into a show that's named after Harold and or Willie Castro? Like, I have serious questions about a person who spends their free time listening to a show that's named after those two specific baseball players.
Yeah, it's a good suggestion. I like the punniness.
Yes,
it goes with podcast.
It's an 80 grade, pun like that. But yeah.
But it's not the elegant solution we're looking for.
No, when we named it after, when you named it after Nick, he was the big young thing coming up. Like he was the, we thought we were going to have that name forever. Obviously, nothing lasts forever. But I mean, seriously, who, if we're going to go the player route again, what are our options? I mean, there are just absolutely zero that I'd be confident in 3 years. Oh, yeah, that name will still be worthwhile.
Yeah, we're going to have to go in a different direction. We have nobody we can hitch our wagon to.
I mean, it's either got to be like stadium themed or legend themed. I don't know. Like I don't super want to go down like the legend route because I feel like I'm more of a what's going forward than, Trammell and Whitaker type of guy. I don't know.
Well, I think what we do is we keep this name till the end of the season.
That seems fair.
And then if we decide to reboot, kind of for 2020, then we, put on a fresh face. But we don't need to decide today.
That's true.
You know what I'm good at? Doing nothing. Super good at that.
So obviously this brings us to this week's leadoff question. If you had to rename the show right now, which we just said that we're not going to do, what would you name it?
Brian.
Brian.
I have no idea. Gus. My family always talks, if we ever got a dog, we name him Gus.
All right. Based on what?
Gus, the Tigers.
I mean,
podcast.
I like it. I just don't understand.
No, I don't. There's nothing to understand. I can't think of anything clever.
Okay.
And it's not happening for us. We could call it the Detroit Tigers podcast with Jordan and Eric. You got to say it like that, kind of sing songy. Got to sell it.
For sure. We should just start saying everything sing-songy.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And I don't really have anything. The only thing that
we need to name it? I just had an idea.
Oh, here we go.
The North River Vodka Podcast, sponsored by North River Vodka. You got to get some of that money. Monetize.
I would be completely fine with that, Chris.
We'd the official
absolutely
podcast.
Absolutely be fine with that.
The official podcast of the North River Vodka.
Okay, so before we get to all the contact info, I do have a big announcement for you and all the listeners, although you actually know this. So I have a photograph that is a finalist in the Pottawatomie Zoo, which is at South Bend, Indiana. It is a finalist in the zoo scenery category of the photo contest. And I would like to win it. I'm plenty vain enough to know that if I'm into the finals as I am, that I really, really want to win. So here's what I need from everyone out there that's listening. Please go to my Twitter feed on the pinned tweet. I have some instructions. It'll take you to the picture on Facebook. It's a fish. Honestly, objectively looking at the other fish or the other pictures in the category, it is the best photo in the category. Let's not mince words there. But don't like my tweet. Actually, go to the photo on the zoo Facebook page and like it there. And don't even tell me that you're too cool for Facebook and you got rid of that back in 2012. Because let's be honest, you still have a Facebook where you argue politics with your aunts and uncles and whatnot.
Yep.
Anyway, my Twitter is at JordanHall23. It'll be in the pinned. Or you can just go to the Pottawatomie Zoo Facebook page, go to the photos, and the really cool one of fish, like that one. Don't like any of the other ones. There's a kid on a merry-go-round who's in second
place.
Screw
that kid.
We're trying to take that kid down a notch. He's real cocky, and I'm not standing for that.
I got to tell you, Hall.
Yep.
Winning a zoo photography contest is seriously some community chest card from Monopoly BS right there.
So is that worth $15? I feel like.
Collect $25.
In addition to the $25, it's for like a conservation calendar. There's 12 categories, you know, for the 12 months. So in addition to the $15 from the community chest, I will also have my photo plastered in front of probably hundreds of people that have this this calendar in their house. But I very much want to win because, you know, guys know how much I like zoos.
You do like zoos. I love how like normal podcasts are like trying to sell audible.com subscriptions or whatever. And we're like, okay, we need you to vote for the zoo picture.
Yes.
That's really where we're after. A lot of people.
1,000% where we're at. All right. Contact info on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at, I have Comeric Eric on it. That's not true. What's your new one again?
Eric Wayne's Brain.
Man, that's going to take some getting used to.
Yep, Eric Wayne's Brain. That's where I'm at now.
The show
I
is
changed
at,
it.
At Podcastianos, which, let's be honest, I haven't updated that since the Pit Spinner season started, but we're back now, so I'll start too. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, and we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. If you do, leave us a review. Take a screenshot of it and tweet it to us, and we'll read it out on next week's show in our appreciation. I haven't checked the reviews. I doubt we got any over the summer, but I suppose you never know.
We'll check soon, I'm sure.
For sure. We will most definitely do that.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So, Eric, I'll give you the choice. Do you want to start tonight with the Tigers or with the Pit Spitters?
I think this is the time of the show where we need to get your debrief on the happenings in Traverse City. And I'm curious, you got to tell us a little bit about the Pit Spitters, the Pit Spitters season, and your experience behind the microphone.
So
tell us a little bit.
I'll just give a little bit of background. As anyone who listened to the last show before the hiatus knows, I was the broadcaster for the Traverse City Pit Spitters this summer. It's a Northwoods League team based in my hometown of Traverse City. Northwoods League, think the Cape Cod League, except for maybe like a step down or two as far as talent level. Primarily a lot of college juniors that are trying to get in front of scouts one more time before the last
last draft
go through. And then there's also a lot of underclassmen who didn't get a lot of at-bats or innings on the mound for their college teams getting some more reps. Primarily in the Northwoods League, it's primarily kids from the Midwest, a lot of college, like Big Ten,
MAC teams,
Big
12, maybe
MAC. Yep, definitely.
D2, some D2 guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of GLIAC guys. Which,
yeah, so like Grand Valley, Saginaw Valley, that kind of thing.
There's a lot of talent in some of those schools. It's not, you know, necessarily as big of a jump from like, you know, the Oakland Conference to the GLIAC as you might imagine.
Right.
But anyway, so it was the first year in existence. The ownership group from the West Michigan Whitecaps bought the franchise and the stadium at what is now Pitt Spitters Park from the Traverse City.
No, it's not Warfel Stadium anymore.
No, fooey on that.
Is it still Chum's Corner, though?
It is. It will forever be Chum's. It was Chum's Corner long before the Beach Bums and will be long after. So
we've lost like half the people here. Sorry, just keep going.
So this is the first year. They started out about 13-13, something like that, and then rattled off a now league record 18 straight win streak. Ended the year both first half, second half, regular division champs, and then they won the entire thing on a walk-off error, actually, in the ninth inning. I'm sure my call was actually really bad because it was supposed to be just a routine ground ball to third that, you know, 5-3 inning ending put out, and instead it got away from the first baseman, and they scored the winning run, and the championship was over. It was actually a little bit startling, but... broadcasting itself is, I have a whole new respect for Matt Shepard. I know you guys are probably a little sick of him, but it is such a tough gig. And obviously having a co-host and making it a little bit more conversational makes it a little easier on him. I didn't have anybody. It was just me talking for 3 hours, which I'm sure is probably all of you guys' nightmare. But it is tough. You're like, it's the most mentally, like, there's just so many things going on, and you're trying to take them all in at the same time while trying to, like, regurgitate them into a coherent manner, all while trying to keep up with, you know, keeping my own book. It's not exactly like there was a stats intern for me.
Mickey, right, yeah.
Mickey didn't spring for an intern for me, so that was a bummer. But
Your bookkeeping skills developed throughout the year?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. And knowing what kind of stuff I need on my scorecard to begin with really, really improved over the course of the year. I was actually looking back through and, like, at what point did I start putting, you know, the slash line, or, you know, everyone's slash lines on there, and you know, what they've done over the last 7 days. And it was definitely a learning experience. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
Labor of love.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I'm not good enough to make any sort of career in broadcasting, but for a summer hobby, it was pretty awesome.
That's pretty fun. Tell me about these kids' experience. Did they're taking it seriously when they won, did they go nuts? Is they taking it all in stride? What's an experience for an average pit spitter like?
So that's a really interesting question, because I think the experience for an average pit spitter and an average Northwoods leaguer is very different. Like, they bought in hook, line, and sinker from the first day. The manager, Josh Reban, who I actually randomly played with at Adrian for a year, so it's kind of one of those small world situations, him and his staff were just incredible. Like, these kids had never met each other, and then they're essentially a team the next day. Like, I don't know how he does it. I mean, that's why he's the manager and I'm the broadcaster. excuse me. So, yeah, they were bought in. I mean, they had 5 or 6 walk-off wins that they just went nuts after. But if you contrast that with the typical Northwoods leaguer, many of them want to get their innings in and get out of Dodge. So it's not necessarily the common experience of what I saw. There's actually a Foul Pole Sports documents the plight of the summer leaguer, and their big hashtag is "Can I go home now?"
Right.
Which I think is more of the typical experience.
Whereas I see
a lot of teams lost a lot of their players over the season, whereas the pit spitters lost virtually nobody. Like, nobody wanted to leave, which is for sure different than just about any of the other teams in the league.
Well, having that in mind has to inform your selection process when you look at some of these kids too. It may not be even the most talented kid that you can find. It's okay, who is somebody who's going to stick with it, who fits, who's going to improve and buy in, and all those kinds of things. Is that part of the selection process?
Oh, for sure. And when Mickey showed me the roster, you know, there's a couple kids from Michigan, a couple kids from Michigan State, and the rest of them were all Mac or Gliac type guys. And I'm like, oh man, like, there's no big names on here at all. And I mean, that didn't matter. Those guys were all there essentially for the entire season. And it showed. There was some guys from Vandy. There was some guys from a bunch of guys from the SEC, that were there early, left, you know, later on. I only saw half the league, so you can't speak to the other half,
but
for a large portion, it was a little bit different. Some of the more big-time program guys maybe seemed a little bit less bought into the whole concept.
Right.
And it was essentially a training exercise just in front of crowds.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it makes sense. So I have to tell you, I have a little bit of a beef. When you got the gig, I was pretty excited. I'm like, oh, I'm going to see, you know, clips of baseball with the dulcet tones of one Jordan Hall layered over them. And maybe I'll tune in for a game or whatever. But I found the Northwoods League to actually be prohibitively expensive to check in with.
Yes.
Is there anything you're allowed to say about that?
I think at this point, it is what it is. Yeah, I believe the entire season package was either 200 or $250, which is, I mean, let's be honest, that is just straight up bonkers. That's banana pants. Like, it was $12 per game. So yeah, I'm not entirely sure who was watching me all summer, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But they were very protective of their clips. I was actually denied access to the Dropbox that had all of the highlights. Like, I couldn't tweet anything out all season, which was primarily I guess to try and draw traffic to their streaming service. But sure. Yep. In the end, I think all it kind of proved to do was just limit the exposure that I was able to. I mean, all of my followers are Midwest baseball fans. Like, that is the Northwoods
League
prime,
candidates, prime client.
Like, so it didn't make a ton of sense. But the Pitts Bitters organization itself, led by Mickey Graham, former VP of something at West Michigan. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, marketing. Yeah. He does so much. I would say both you and I are both big fans of Mickey Graham and the work he's done throughout the years. So yeah,
the entire organization was awesome. Like, baseball is a game that means a very, very lot to me, as does my hometown of Traverse City. And to see that this is how baseball will be, you know, represented in Traverse City in at least the immediate future is something that's really, really cool for me, whether I'm actually, you know, part of it or not going forward. It's worked out really well. I'm super happy with what they've done.
Yeah. The Whitecaps took their good leadership, their good ideas, their system a little bit, took it north. And I think, I wish I could have been there more and stuff, but it sounds like you had an awesome season.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And they won it all. Like, there were some teams that were really, really bad. Like, if I got stuck with calling those teams, it could have been, I mean, I called 39 games. Like, it could have been a really long summer.
Right, right.
Fortunately, it was exactly the opposite. So that was dope.
Congratulations. Thanks. Good job.
Thanks. I do have access to the Dropbox with all the clips now. I mean, naturally.
Oh, okay.
So I'll start to try and tweet some of those out.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. There was like, I don't know, there was like 5 or 6 walk-offs. So there's a few not terrible walk-off calls, I thought.
That's good stuff. Shall we talk about a better team, slightly better than the Pitts Bitters?
Yeah, I suppose we probably should. So in my world, the biggest story for the Tigers Bruin right now is those all black players weekend jerseys.
Players weekend.
How did you feel about those?
I feel like the concept was okay, but I feel the execution was poor.
You didn't like them?
Like the monochrome black and white, it could be kind of, you know, stylish and stuff, you know, as Detroit fans, there's something good about a fairly simple white uniform, but the execution was kind of bad. You couldn't, on the white ones, you couldn't read the names and the numbers. And there was one of these teams had they did a parody of the Backstreet Boys album.
It was the Twins with the bullpen guys. Yeah. Yeah. That was really good.
I thought that was pretty funny. Although Players Weekend, to me, if you're going to do something goofy, just go for it. I mean, try something. It's what? One weekend. Who cares?
Where do you come down on the whole Players Weekend thing? Like, I feel like it's constantly getting bullied by the media and by fans. Like, I don't know. I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either. Like, everybody's so stuffy all the time. So, like, wear goofy shoes and have nicknames. Wear your hat backwards. You know, do like the Reds. Take your sleeves off.
That was awesome. I'm very behind that for sure.
You know, everywhere there's some Bill Plaschke somewhere, some geriatric sports writer, Jerry Green, I'm sure, in his fossilizing remains, are being bitter about how people are disrespecting the game or whatever. It's like, good grief.
That's for sure somebody I know who it is. Yeah, definitely.
It's old people.
So it's obviously been a long time since we've done one of these, and seemingly one of the, you know, I've been watching all the time, but seemingly one of the hallmarks is the team using a lot of randos kind of filling in the lineup. Is that accurate?
Man, they put out a lineup of, well, every day the lineup is not good, but they put the Cabrera was out, and I think who else was out? Somebody, and I just looked at the lineup, and I was like, this is really pretty sad. I mean, you're leaning on guys like Brandon Dixon and Gordon Beckham to carry the freight for you.
I believe you're talking about Bandit and Gordo. Is that who you're referring to?
I'm so sorry. You know, and guys like Nico Goodrum. Okay, he's a fine. He's hurt now, but he's a fine baseball player. But to expect a guy like that to carry the offensive freight for you all year, that's not fair.
It's not a good look.
It's not a good look. Now, there was a time where game 102-ish, where we were only three games better than the 0-3 team.
Mm-hmm.
It was getting pretty lean there. Like every other starting pitchers get, it was just pretty bad. Now, I got to tell you, instead of watching every inning of every game, I'll just tell you, I mean, I'm watching one out of every four games, you know, catching parts of every two or three games. I just don't have a lot of my emotion and self to invest in watching so much losing baseball.
Yeah, that is completely fair. And I actually talked about this with Vito earlier. We were discussing the differences between this team and the 2003 team. There were green shoots in 2003. Of what was to come in 2006, like you had Marath and Bondo and Nate Robertson, Craig Monroe was part of that team.
Monroe, yep.
Where are the green shoots in this just abysmal team that are going to lead to a successful turnaround in 3, 5, 7 years?
Right, and that's the question. I think. I mean, Gordon Beckham is not the future of this club.
Wait, right? Hold on. I wasn't ready for that revelation.
That stutter, just dropping truth bombs on you. So we're catching some signs. I mean, Jake Rogers, maybe Jake Rogers' defense,
maybe, yeah.
We are seeing some stability out of Daniel Norris.
That's true.
Yep. He's not setting the world on fire, but at least it's consistent, right?
Yeah. I suppose that's true.
So, and for him, that's success, I think. What else are we seeing? I think we're learning about guys like Candelario and Stewart and maybe Harold Castro, and I think we're learning, and Dowell Lugo, I think we're learning that we do not have high value assets on our hands.
Yes, I would agree. I think that's, we've more learned what we don't have than what we do. If that,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm just rephrasing what you said, but
right. I think we're learning we have a lot more work to do than what we would have hoped for.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of quad A guys. And it's, yeah. So, you know, I played this game with another knowledgeable Tigers person not so long ago. And we tried
You've been pod cheating? Is that?
No, this was a, you know, off.
Just a regular conversation. With words and one. Okay.
Right. So how many current Tigers are contributing in 2021 in a meaningful way?
I think there's a chance Matt Boyd is.
Matt Boyd. Yep. Turnbull.
Maybe, you don't know.
Right.
Yep.
Joe Jimenez.
Maybe.
So, I mean,
I think there's a chance that Norris is still around. I don't know that I would say that I would put any stock in him contributing. Right. And Michael Fulmer, and then everything else has got to come from the farm. Like literally everything else.
Everything else. So in 2 years, we have, you know, four or five guys. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's not good.
Now, I do think that I mean, you know how I feel about Willie Castro. He is technically right. up. I wouldn't necessarily contribute, you know, put him with the group that's been so bad this year. I do think that they're, I mean, I told you in spring training, I think he's the shortstop of the future. Yep. And I do think that Nico could be the seldom used utility man in 2 or 3 years. He does a lot of good things, just not in a, hey, let's start him and hit him clean up every night kind of way.
Right. But most of the guys we're seeing on this team are just placeholders. I hate to dog on them, but they're just placeholders.
Well, let's take Harold Castro, for example. He hit cleanup, tonight or last night?
Ooh. Yeah.
On any normal team, you look at Harold Castro and think, yeah, that's probably a guy they should send back to AAA.
Right.
For us, he is like
sitting at the top lineup. Yeah.
One of the like standout players of the year. Like that tells you everything you need. There isn't anyone else.
Yeah.
How have you thought about Demerit since joining the team?
Is it Demerit? Or Demerit? I think you gotta say.
Sure.
Is it Demerit? Demerit. Anyway, yeah, okay. He's been steady. We needed a bat. Like we traded for him, and then here you come, bud. Come on up. He's shown some patience at times,
which is not in his minor league makeup. So that's actually
which seemed kind of that wasn't his thing. But he's walked 10 times and 94 or 83 at bats. It's
really not actually that bad of a rate. He seems to me kind of a true three outcome player with plus speed. I mean, is that kind of
his defense is Nick-esque. he's not gonna win Gold Gloves.
To be fair, there is a huge difference or huge space between winning Gold Gloves and Nick Castellanos.
Right. I think what they got for Shane Green with a top 10 prospect and Demerit, it's looking better than when I first thought. When I first thought, I thought, they got a lot better haul for Nick than they got for Green, but I reversed that. I think they did a lot better with Green.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with trading Shane Green is that we set our sights on, Tuki Toussaint or some of these guys that were just
good guys.
Frankly too high up the Alex Jackson. I mean, he's whatever. He was a first round pick, but he's not anything special.
Okay.
And then we ended up with the who guy in the organization, and it could be worse.
Yep. What else do we want to talk about?
We're on a little long already, but I do want to talk about the Fennec thing.
Do you?
Yeah. So like I've missed a lot of the summer, but it's been an interesting summer for Fennec. The tone in his articles have changed over the last couple weeks. And then there was the, incident with Verlander, bit of a ruckus. I mean, are we just going to assume that everyone is aware, or do we want to spell this out?
I'll try to give a super quick recap.
There we go.
It was after an Astros game in Houston, and three security guards were at the entrance to the clubhouse and forbade Anthony Fennec, who writes for the Free Press, to enter along with the rest of the scrum of reporters. They go in en masse and they do their interviews and they feed off each other's questions or whatever. So there's not a lot of duplication. Well, everybody else was allowed in and Fennec was not. And it came to light. And then eventually, several minutes later, kind of when things were wrapping in, he was allowed in, but then Verlander was gone. So it had come to light that Verlander had instructed the club and instructed the security guards to keep Fennec out because they had some kind of beef, and Verlander accused him of unethical reporting or behavior.
Yeah. So that's basically the wrap up.
Right. Well, the other important detail is the Baseball Writers Association and the collective bargaining agreement
freaked out.
Forbid this kind of exclusion.
Yeah.
If you are a member and an accredited writer or whatever, you are allowed in with the rest of them. And the Astros kind of doubled down, but what they did was clearly off policy, a violation of the policy.
Yes.
And there so far has been no consequence.
I actually, that the aftermath is actually what I wanted to talk about here. So clearly, I mean, the writers, the Free Press have the upper hand here. They came out with all kinds of like petty shade throwing digs at Verlander over the you know, days to follow that. JV kind of just came out with a, you know, I have an issue with him. What happened is what happened type of tweet. Nobody came out looking even remotely okay from this situation.
No, I'm not on either side. And I'm generally lean on the non-billionaire side, you know, of this scenario. The underdog here is Fennec and the Free Press as much as they can be, but they both don't look particularly good.
No. And I mean, I wouldn't necessarily put us as part of the Tigers media, but I know we're supposed to support the people who are getting us our news.
Sure.
But yep. The sanctimonious hand-wringing of the writing community at large over the situation took me a little bit aback. It's not like Verlander was trying to stifle his First Amendment right of the freedom of the press or something like this was an isolated incident, which I know you can say, well, if it happens here, it could happen there. But he doesn't like him. There's clearly something going on there that's extra professional.
Sure. But the thing is, Verlander does not have to look at him, respond to him, answer his questions. They're only allowed the access on the same level, and Verlander violated that, and that's out of bounds.
I don't know. I am loath to, you know, blatantly side with somebody on the, you know, on another team. It just, right. It's not, I was going to say, it's not out of character for Verlander, because he definitely has kind of an alpha dog thing about him. But this isn't something that I mean, obviously not this specifically, but like, I don't know. If Verlander doesn't go out of his way with stuff like this, I don't know. It's just a really interesting situation. It just adds to the list of like, what the heck is going on?
Situations. The bigger problem is with the Astros, not Verlander. And I mean, the league should give them at least a slap on the wrist to say, no, you can't do this anymore. And if they do that, okay, we're fining you $5,000 or whatever. Yeah. Don't let it happen again. And it becomes a non-story and we're done with this forever. Yeah. And it's going to go away anyway.
Oh, I think that it already has gone away. I just think the whole thing has been really, really interesting. I don't know. I'd love to know the inside story. We'll probably never get it, but.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, let's move on to your power rankings.
Man, stretch here.
Oh,
my
boy.
Power rankings are a little rusty. So we talked about the Northwoods League a little bit. Did you know that there is another league that is going to be bubbling up again here very soon? They recently unveiled some logos. And yes, I am talking about the XFL. do you remember the original XFL, Hall? How old are you?
30. So I was young, but yeah, I do remember it.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, you were. But yeah, the XFL with, you know, he hate me.
Yeah.
And the run to the middle line and all these gimmick stuff. Mm-hmm. I kind of liked the XFL, the first iteration.
I believe that you liked it. Yeah, for sure.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, so I have for you North American professional sports leagues.
Oh, okay.
The leagues, not the sport. I'm talking about the league.
The leagues themselves. All
right. The quality of the league. Okay.
All right.
Starting in at number seven is NASCAR, as much as that's a league or an organization. NASCAR is pretty good. It gets itself on TV a lot. It's got a lot of money. I mean, it's down off its, you know, peak, right? It used to have a stranglehold. Remember when election time would come around and they talk about NASCAR dads and stuff like that? They don't talk about that anymore. NASCAR's lost a little bit of prestige and panache, but you still see a lot of NASCAR. I've been to NASCAR races. They are they're interesting. They're exciting and fun.
Are they?
They're doing it.
Yeah, I've been to one, and I would describe it as neither interesting nor exciting or whatever you just said.
Really? I think they're way better in person than actually.
Well, yeah, but that bar is incredibly low. Anyway.
There's seven. There's not that many leagues.
That's true. That's true.
NASCAR. All right, here we go. Number six, the WNBA. Okay? This is America's best female league. I think they do it better than the soccer or the softball or whatever. And they appear on TV occasionally. They're doing okay. The WNBA.
All right.
Bill Laimbeer coached him. That's good.
He sometimes stops into the campground to get propane. Real talk.
Bill does?
Bill does. Yeah. I've seen Bill like three times.
He's a gamer. Detroit Shock, yeah, they won a championship.
Yeah, definitely. Right.
It's exciting.
It's pretty much what I have. Yeah,
coming in at number five is the NHL. Now the NHL is obviously the premier hockey league in the world, and you know the Red Wings are a big name or whatever. But tell me, Jordan, how many current hockey players can you name?
It's under 10.
Possibly under
five.
I could probably get to 10 somehow if I thought of enough Red Wings.
Abdul Kader.
yeah. So
that's my one.
Because he's from Muskegon or whatever. The NHL, they're doing pretty good, I think, with the NBC sports package and stuff. You can access a lot of NHL games if you want to, but you know, I think the league is just too diluted. There's too many teams and there's too many players. How do you follow a storyline of a team in Winnipeg or, you know, Phoenix or whatever?
I think the answer is you don't.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're kind of low.
Yeah.
They're five. Number four is the MLS.
Oh, see your mentions.
MLS.
Do you not know where you record a podcast?
MLS.
I would like to distance myself from this. I do not want you in my mentions. I have no feelings on MLS whatsoever.
MLS. I'm kind of starting to dig the MLS a little bit more. They have Ibrahimovic.
Oh yeah. Zlatan. Yeah.
He is freaking entertaining.
Oh yeah. He's straight amazing. Up box office.
I didn't watch the show. I didn't watch the game, but the El Trafico, which is a spoof of El Clasico with the two Los Angeles teams. I thought that was brilliant.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It ranks right up there with naming with Estadio Casteca, which I think is hilarious for Casteca.
That is pretty fun. I hadn't heard that one, but that's really funny.
Estadio Casteca is great. And then they got the Northwest teams, you know, Portland and Vancouver and Seattle. And that's like a big high drama thing. They got a lot going for them.
Yeah.
I mean, Miguel Almiron, who plays for Newcastle United right now, came from Atlanta. So they're developing some bigger name guys. I think MLS has got a lot going for them. That sport's growing, you know.
But they're only about money, Eric.
For sure. Yes.
It was a joke because all sports leagues are primarily
about money. I would love if soccer in America had relegation and advancement. That'd be awesome, but they don't.
No, this is a baseball show, not a soccer show, but it's primarily due to travel costs. I mean, that's kind of the big drawback. I rarely ever bring myself to watch MLS, but if there was an MLS team in Detroit, I would be 1,000% in.
It'd be. Yeah, and you know, Detroit City, you're
It is what it is.
You're plucky and fun, but
see your mentions. You have pissed off the wrong people. Oh my
gosh.
Good
for you, Detroit City.
Have fun with
that. Just want to give you a noogie and say, go out there and get them, slugger.
Oh my gosh. This will be a test of how many people actually listen to us because. Oh boy. Yeah, anyway, they are not nice. I'll just put it that way. They are not nice people.
Love you. Love you, Detroit City. La Rouge or whatever.
Sure.
Okay. Coming in at number three is our boys, the MLB.
Really?
Major League Baseball. Number three. Yeah. They have a lot going for them in that their clubs have more loyalty than I think anybody else. I mean, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Cubs. I mean,
Cardinals, I mean, there's a lot of
people are just, they sell caskets with MLB logos on. I mean, you will not find more people. Now, people are dedicated to their team. They're not necessarily dedicated to the league.
That's correct.
So yeah. And another thing with MLB is, like, it's hard to access your favorite team. Like, we're seeing it with the Tigers now. Like, you had to get the regional sports network, but they were bought out by Sinclair. There's always these blackouts. I know a lot of leagues have blackouts, but baseball always seems to make it especially hard to get to what you want to see.
Yeah, they seem to have a hard time getting out of their way for marketing purposes.
For sure. And then for a while, they're going to crack down on gifts and all, you know, the thing with the pitching ninja guy. And I was like, come on, baseball. They're doing your work of promoting your league.
Yeah. Yep.
And baseball is not very good at marketing their stars.
No. I mean, I genuinely think that if I walk down a street in Los Angeles and saw Mike Trout, there's a 50-50 chance I would not, like, instantly recognize him.
That's probably true. You'd recognize his walk because he walks like he's got something up his butt.
That's true. Yeah, that I would probably recognize. And that is, I mean, inarguably on his way to being the greatest player ever, who plays in the second biggest city in America. Like,
He might be when it's all said and done, he might be the greatest baseball player of all time. And he's playing right now in his prime.
Anyway.
Okay. Number two is the NFL. The NFL has got some problems with concussions and, you know, the commissioner's kind of a dope, but they still capture America's imagination unlike anybody else. They still get so much attention. The Super Bowl is a phenomenon unto itself. It's easy to watch the NFL. It's always on stations that you can get to, and even lame games, people talk about. They have more league wide reach than anybody else. People will watch crappy NFL games because it's football, because it's the NFL.
Yep, absolutely.
Number one is, you got to guess?
NBA.
The NBA does a pretty good job as a league.
Definitely.
Right? Sports radio, talking TV heads are always talking about the NBA. And there's a good reason. It's accessible. The players are accessible. You recognize a lot of people. It's a fairly entertaining product on the court. It's relatively easy to tune into a game. There's always like soap opera drama stuff.
Yeah, like, for sure.
And people follow. That's something to follow. The players are personalities, not only on the court, but off the court. And the NBA does a pretty good job of promoting them.
Yeah.
So the NBA is the...
The kids are super into the NBA.
Oh,
like, even
they got a lot of future.
Yeah, definitely.
NBA. Okay. Third worst, three worst. The third from the worst is the XFL, and I haven't even seen them yet. Well, what are you doing? Like, why can't somebody make a sub NFL league work? Well, how hard can it be? Like, this, the AAF or whatever didn't even last at all.
I mean,
like, how hard can this be? People
apparently very hard. Like, a lot. The thing is you're not just competing with the NFL. You're also competing with college football. I mean,
that's true.
So you have,
but there's still a lot of appetite for football.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. I don't get the whole football thing, but we've been over that a million times.
We'll see once what the XFL does this time. Number two from the worst is the PGA Tour. Like, I don't, what events are important? What events are not? Which golfers are there?
Yeah,
like,
no idea.
Either you're a golf guy or you're not.
I would 1000% agree with that. Yep.
There's a reason why Tiger Woods is the one big draw for them, because that's the only name like anybody knows.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, if they should be doing a better job of, like, anyway, the PGA Tour is not that good. Number one worst league. You got
a
guess?
I don't have a guess here, no.
The Arena Football League. They went bankrupt a few years ago, and now they're back. They got six teams plus Cleveland, which is on hiatus. They used to have the Arena League and the Arena League 2. They had a minor league Arena League for a while. They were so big and popular, and then they went bankrupt. It all came crashing down, which pains me because this is Grand Rapids' like most prominent championship. When the Grand Rapids Rampage, I still have my black Rampage visor, and they had a sweet logo.
Do you wear it upside down and backwards?
I should. It would be a look, as I say. The Arena League just pissed it all away. How did you screw it up so bad, Arena League? Remember when, you know, the Gruden boys were in Florida and everybody was talking about Arena League and Garcia and Kurt Warner? Like, they had it kind of going on. And then it's crap. Way to go, Arena League. Screwed it up. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Wow, that was something.
Did you like that?
I did. That was a good one. It's been a while since I've had anything power ranked for me, so that was an experience. So a couple different things that I saw on the side of the road while running. I didn't actually get a lot of running in this summer. I primarily was at the ballpark every night eating free corn dogs and fries.
Talking with your mouth full.
Yeah. No, I ate pregame. And I
didn't Jim prize it up.
Yeah, no. Just a couple days ago, actually, there was a clear plastic totes that have the lid on it.
Yeah, sure, like a Tupperware.
Yeah, except for bigger. It was on the side of the road, and it was labeled board games and puzzles, and there was just board games spewed out on the side of the road. I'm assuming it was like on the back of their truck or camper or something like that, and it fell out. So wherever they end up, the kids will not have to suffer through board games. So that's a nice bonus for them. And then also, I told you about the place that has tomatoes in air quotes and cukes not in air quotes on the like farm stand on the sign.
Right.
Well, okay, was apparently now that they're getting into growing herbs, and basil was in air quotes, which
basil.
If you're asking me, an herb in air quotes, that has a very different connotation. Yeah. To me, like, yep. Yeah, this is basil. Come in and get some
of our basil.
So
wacky to basil.
So possible drug activity on my running route. I'll keep you apprised of that as the fall unfolds.
Very good.
All right, let's get into some Twitter questions. We're running long, so maybe we'll cut this one short. The first one comes in from our buddy Jacob Skronik, which is his last question before he leaves for China. So we'll get to this one. So I made reference to that I dislike – do you guys watch the Kids Baking Championship?
Yes.
Food Network?
My kids love it, yeah. Okay.
So there's a girl on it this year that is from the South, and I just can't stand her. Like, she leans into, oh, I'm Southern and so cute, so much. It drives me bonkers. Anyway, so I said that I hate her more than I've hated any other kid on any season so far. Anyway, so that's where this comes from. He says, which of the current Tigers team or TCU, Tigers Cinematic Universe, which I appreciate, would be the best baking contestant or judge?
Oh, I don't know. Well, to go on your Southern theme, I don't know. Could Southern people cook good, bake good? I guess it would be Nico.
Yeah, I could see Nico being a good judge. I could see John Hicks being a good judge.
John Hicks looks like an eater.
He would enjoy it the most.
Well, he talks about cheesecake.
Yeah.
Cheesecake, he get when they win, or he does something good, they get cheesecake.
I don't know that it's healthy to use food as a motivator like that. Like, it's one thing if it's a dog. It's a little different as a human. But, you know, that's neat.
Stop judging me.
If it were a vegan baking contest, I'm sure Norris would be able to take part.
Yeah, if it doesn't taste like, you know, grass or something, you know, he is not interested.
So, anyway. So, do you guys watch the, like, holiday one, too?
I don't know. It's been a while, Hall.
Anyway, there's on like the seasonal ones, there's this really mean lady named Lorraine that she just like chews out the people when they don't do good. But she's not on the kids one, which I think would be so funny to see her. Just,
you're watching the one with Duff Goldman and Valerie, right? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. Okay. But they're so nice to the kids. Sometimes the kids need to be told they suck.
Wow.
Real talk. Okay, yeah. So let's move on. Nicholas Holler says, which one player should the Tigers realistically try to sign this offseason?
Who was it? Evan, why can't I think of it? Woodbury had an article with a couple suggestions I thought were good. One I thought was interesting, Alex Avila.
Yeah, let's go ahead and not do that.
Alex Avila. Hunter Pence was another one he had recommended.
Yeah, let's not do that either. I was looking at some of the... some of the arms. There's a couple of reclamation projects. I'd let Michael Wacha. Like I haven't spent a lot of time diving into their numbers. Michael Wacha has had some success. Michael Pineda, and then Wade Miley's had a bonkers year for Houston this year. I wouldn't necessarily mind one of those guys. Like, you know, kind of a placeholder. I'm not sure that any of them are looking for 4 years. Just somebody to keep this spot warm for some of the guys coming up.
Next year is not going to be good either.
No.
I hate to crap on our own parade, but.
And I wouldn't mind seeing them sign a hitter like Corey Dickerson, somebody like that. Yeah. At least platoon as a lefty. I don't know.
Yeah, platoon with a guy like Demerit or Kristen Stewart. You know, somebody just to give you some.
That doesn't suck. No offense to all the guys we have. Robin Runyon says, how will you celebrate her birthday?
Wearing some stylish sunglasses, Robin.
I think that would be a good choice.
Yeah.
I don't know that I own it. I own sunglasses. I don't know that I would say I own any stylish sunglasses.
I bought a pair of white ones.
I can for sure see you in white sunglasses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
somebody came up to me and they're like, oh, those are cool glasses. Where'd you get them? I'm like, Meyer. I felt kind of bad.
Yeah, if you either need to, like, say, you know, up your butt or, like, make up a store, I think Meyer is not an acceptable answer there.
Yeah, I should have came up with a cooler lie for sure.
Yeah. Jeremy Troya says, why are we still watching this team?
Sometimes we don't. Don't tell anybody. Yeah. We're going to get angry comments. We're
for sure don't tell the reviewers. Yeah, definitely.
What kind of crap podcast is it? Guys don't even watch the Tigers and try to talk about the Tigers. You know, we do. Okay. I do. I watch the Tigers. It's just been at a more leisurely pace.
Yeah. There you go. Michael Litzner asks, who would win a 7-game series, the 2003 Tigers or the 2019 Tigers? It's a good question.
Who would win a what?
A 7-game series.
Oh, for sure. The 2019 Tigers are better. Way better. Way better.
Are they?
They're 8 games better right now.
Who are we throwing in this series that's going to get us the W's?
Well, Boyd Norris and Edwin Jackson for sure. Dude, Ejax is a salvation.
Yeah, I don't know how we glossed over that. Edwin Jackson is making starts for us in 2019.
That's a little bit problematic. Yeah. Yeah, it's been kind of a mess. But we are better than 03 for sure.
All right. Two more. Kamel asks us, what things should we be watching for the Tigers until the end of the year? This is actually a little bit of a positive question. I like it.
Yeah, I like this too. Watch Jake Rogers' arm. Even just tonight, he threw some guy out at third. I think it was Puig. That's fun to watch. Don't watch him hit too close. I mean, just watch him catch and throw. That's a fun thing. Watch Willie Castro. Those are some things to watch for. Look out for some power. whether a Demerit, Stewart, Reyes, you know, some of these guys, see if some power develops.
Reyes.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah, for sure, Reyes. And then our buddy Keenan at Tiger_Lifer says, I'm just moving right along from that. Which TC Pit Spitters pitcher and position player should the Tigers be looking to acquire as 40-man additions this September and beyond? There are some... So there's nobody on the Pit Spitters that I think their future is in the big leagues. There are some guys that I thought, you know, they could spend some time in the system. They had a 6'9" lefty that pumped upper 90s. Control. Well,
that plays.
Control was spotty. When he was on, it was just lights out.
But that's what scouts are looking for. They're not looking for polish. They're looking for promise and potential, right?
I mean, he will for sure get drafted. I believe he's committed to go play at South Carolina next year. Like, he'll for sure get drafted. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple guys that had real good – we had two guys that were 2-1 walk to strikeouts on the year. I don't know. The extra base pop will have to develop. One is the second baseman, Mario Camilletti. And then there was a couple starting pitchers that I really like, including Andrew Hoffman, who was the Northwoods League Pitcher of the Year. So you'll appreciate this. He has a fastball, a changeup, a curveball that is 12-6, and a slider that breaks almost perfectly horizontally. Like, how often do you see that? It was very aesthetically pleasing. I really
enjoyed
that.
So he's got a fairly solid 4-pitch arsenal.
Can spot almost any of them. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The fastball 89-91, like it. But he's 6'5", like it'll eventually play up. He's probably.
But in that league, throwing 91 fastball, I mean, that plays, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, that was about as hard as any of the starters that I saw. I mean, some of the relievers came out bringing heat or whatever. But, yeah, so anyway, that's who we should go ahead and add to the 40-man. I mean, we could probably put him in the system. I'm not sure they'd be taking the Rule 5, but, you know.
Yeah, no. Dude. You're not worried about losing them.
No.
But somebody could take them.
Yeah, it'd be nice. So if you want to get in touch with the show, you can. I am at Jordan Hall 23. And once again, please go vote for my picture. You will not regret it. We will have a victory parade down the streets of Traverse City when I bring home the prize. Eric, you're at Eric Wayne's Brain?
Yes.
Okay. And at Podcastianos. And leave us a review. But anyway, that brings us to the end of the show. It's been a long time. This was good.
We did it. I got to tell you, I'm a little tired. I mean, it's fatiguing. Got to get my legs get stretched out, as they say.
So I'm just looking down at the episode summary from the last show. It has mention of Reed Garrett going back to the Rangers. That was the last show we did. A lot of life has happened since then.
Yep. We missed a lot of losses.
A lot of losses. Anyway, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, guys.
We'll try and be back on a more weekly basis through the rest of the season. We'll see. You guys are watching it too. It's a bloodbath. But if nothing else, we can get on here and talk about some nonsense as
we always have fun. We try to entertain you the best we can. Talk about some Tigers. It'll be great.
With that being said, we'll catch you guys next week and eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.